Triple M's.
Oh!
That has gone sideways.
My word.
That has gone sideways.
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
The international summer of men's cricket is well underway, with the Aussies already deep into their second 2020 series. The Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through all the action. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
G'day, mate.
I'm also joined by Ethan Meldrum.
Happy Steve Smith square drive to you.
Yes, indeed. And we've also got George Porter, who I think spent Melbourne Cup Day watching the Redbacks seconds. The Redbacks junior, the development comp. Is this correct?
That is correct.
My word.
Are you okay?
You absolute nuffy.
I did say a couple of weeks ago that going to the Junction Oval is one of the nicest things you can do.
And watching the Redbacks second 11 is correct. Probably at the other
and
end of the
spectrum. Doing a good job against the Vics, actually.
So, how did they go? Is it still on?
Still going. Day one got rained out. Day two was yesterday. And the Redbacks would be posting a little bit of a lead now. I think the Vics got bowled out for about 208.
Very specific for an roundabout estimate.
Do you know what? After last week's debacle with my stats, I think I might just go for a here or thereabouts. Yeah. I don't want to lock anything in.
So. Stay in your lane.
How do you get bowled out for 208 on Junction Oval?
Well, actually, I did the first
by the Redbacks.
Yeah, I know. Well, the first thing I noticed when I walked in, I was like, well, they're obviously not going to have a run fest again. It was the greenest deck you'll ever see. Yeah. I thought they don't want a repeat of the other week.
Good.
So anyway, that was my Melbourne
what a
Cup
way
day.
To spend a public holiday.
Yeah. All right, let's get on to the actual the televised cricket that's been played.
Barely televised.
Well, yeah,
behind a paywall.
The T20s. Australia's playing Pakistan at the moment. They had a 7-wicket win last night. The fair play to the Pakistanis. They made it. They made it
half interesting.
Competitive.
Yeah.
I think they made 60 odd off the last three overs. 65. Yeah.
Kane Richardson went the journey.
Yeah, he did, unfortunately for him. But the Aussies still rattled off a pretty comfortable 7-wicket win. And once Steve Smith is just taking the actual piss with the bat at the moment.
It's so weird. We were discussing earlier, like just looking at still photos of, you know, him playing shots and, you know, yeah. He square drives, he's cuts over the keeper, stuff like that. Like, it's so uncoordinated and so weird. And
he looks like he's never batted before. He looks like a genuine park cricket number 11. There's hands and arms and legs everywhere.
It looks like someone's
just
like
spinning in his hand. It's all over the joint.
Someone's just slapped a pair of pads and a helmet on him. Yeah. Just said, go out there and face, you know, 7'13" Muhammad Afan.
Yeah.
And smack him for he boundaries.
Yeah, just like anywhere he wanted as well. He would sort of, he just looked at where the field was and went, all right, I'm going to hit a forward there. I'm going to hit a forward there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like wherever they moved the fielder, it's like, oh, well, he keeps hitting us over cover, so we better put one at cover. And then he goes, bang, mid-wicket.
Yeah.
Oh, we better put one at mid-wicket. Backward point. Straight over.
I'm just going to flick this through mid-wicket no matter where it is. Yeah. Oh, it's a foot outside off. I'm going to flick it through mid-wicket.
Yeah. I said mid-wicket.
the tile that you put up of his score last night and the photo that you used.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about it. Yeah. That just sums it up. Doesn't it make sense.
For the benefit of our listeners rather than viewers. It's where he's reaching for that ball that was way over his head and he sort of edged it for four.
Yeah, over the top of the keeper.
It just looked
head
ridiculous.
Over to Triple M Cricket for reference.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, average is 64 in Test cricket playing shots like that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The first game was rained out. Finchie wasn't happy with a 20-minute innings break.
Rightfully so, because he was slamming them.
He was smoking them. So they got
20 minutes, he would have been on about 80.
You need five overs to get a full 2020 game in. They got to 3.1 overs, and Australia were miles ahead.
None for 40, I think.
Yeah,
already.
On the Duckworth-Lewis. Finchie just hit someone for 25 or something. Yeah. And then
he really liked the look of that big Muhammad Irfan.
They would have gotten in 11 balls in 20 minutes if they hadn't.
Yeah,
you know, there just needs to be a bit more common sense in this game sometimes, isn't there?
Well, you would have thought when you're off for that long, you're standing around, everyone's done their warm-ups during the break, ready to go. Yeah, it's just one of those technicalities that got in the way. Oh, dear. Oh,
go there.
Oh.
Bruce is enjoying his 4 days off. There it
is. Slice that one out.
It was, that's all I was going to say before I rudely interrupted myself. It was the second 2020 series the Aussies have played.
Jesus.
In the last week, they wiped the floor with Sri Lanka. 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
They were a basket case.
That was a little bit sad to watch. Dave Warner made 217 without getting out and was man of the series. And there just wasn't much happening there.
It was a Sri Lanka who just, you know, they'd just beaten Pakistan 3-0 in Pakistan in the T20 series. I was expecting a hell of a lot more from them.
A bit more competitive, yeah.
And, you know, they've beaten maybe an Australia race side down here, but they won a game in Geelong a couple of years ago. Like,
and I'm not sure that was a full-strength Sri Lankan side that went and played Pakistan, because some of them didn't travel for safety because it's the first first series back in Pakistan. So that without having seen the squad that they actually took, I'm not sure that the squad they even rolled out this time was up to, like, it was, I think it was weaker, like, and they won 3-0. So I was expecting a far better fight than what we got.
They're a strange mob, the Sri Lankans, aren't they?
Yeah.
It was like watching them in the World Cup. It was kind of like you thought they were going to be probably finish bottom, and then they'd, you know, they beat England, I think, in the World Cup, who went on to win it. The whole thing was very weird.
They pull out some weird results, then they look like an associate team the next match.
I think there's a fair bit going on behind the scenes of Sri Lankan cricket.
There's a lot going on there.
It's not all their fault.
Yeah. I think the front
way too many politics in that.
Yeah, the front-facing part of the team is very much a reflection of that.
Yeah,
I think it's a byproduct of a lot of almost similar to South Africa. How they've had a lot of people retire recently who have been mainstays in that team.
Yeah.
So Rangatira, I mean, their test cricket might be a little bit different, but obviously Jay Wardner and Sangakkara, they've been out for a few years now. And Angelo Matthews, I don't even know where he might be at the moment.
I think he
got caught up in the whole political thing of, is he captain, is he not, is he in the team?
I think they made him captain again during the World Cup or something. I remember he bowled himself for a death over that he hadn't bowled for ages, took some wickets.
And there was an issue with Chandamal, who was one of their up-and-coming kind of good players. He was captain for a bit, then dropped, then in, then out, then back in, straight back into captain and all sorts of stuff.
They did the same thing last summer here. When we paced them around the park in the tests, they looked nowhere near it. Dropped a bunch of blokes, went to South Africa and won an away series.
Yeah.
They're
all over the joint.
Yeah, tough to get a read on. There's been some red ball cricket, though. And it's not just the Redback seconds at Junction Oval, George.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about some actual cricket.
For reference, I didn't just go to watch a second 11 game. I had a mate playing.
Name drop.
Sweepologist.
Good old Roscoe.
Oh, Roscoe, Alex Roscoe.
So that's the reason
I'm fan of the podcast.
So I'm not just hitting there for a little.
How did he go? Did he go right?
He batted today. So this is the worst part. I went for about 6 hours. And at the stumps yesterday, he was next in. So I didn't even see him.
You went for 6 hours to a second 11 game to watch your mate bat.
Ask me anything about Will Sutherland or Will Pazista. I'm good to go. But anyway.
There was some Sheffield Shield played. The Vics were done by Tasmania down in the map down there, Blundstone Arena. They were done pretty comfortably. Their first innings, they got rolled. Tassie sent them in on a green top, and it was doing heaps. They were 6 for 50 at lunch. And then they basically got to 127 with Nick Maddison going, "I've just got to play shots here." And he made
the
a 68.
Dog.
He made a 68 ball 69.
Your man.
The best bit was me and Bizzy were watching it on, it would have been Thursday.
Yeah.
And the best bit was
fun. Seems Jackson, like ages ago now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, well, the best bit was Jackson Bird was bowling to him. Jackson Bird was taking three for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he rattled through him.
And he's bowled one in Maddison's slot. Maddison's gone, bang, out of the ground. I spent 5 minutes looking for the ball. It's come back. Next ball, same shot, out of the ground in the same spot. It was absolutely brilliant. And then he just went nuts after that.
There was no stopping him from there. And then everything just seemed to be falling his way. He was like French cutting the ball, just getting four over the slips. He was like, he somehow managed to get one a third man for six. He was all like, everything turned to gold for him for a period there. But they still
got rolled for 127.
They needed every bit of luck they could get, the Vics at that point.
Mm. But then they ended up rolling Tassie for only 100 more. Mm. Matty Wade made 69 and 57 not out in the year. So he got them over the line with a 57 not out in the second dig. And I feel like he's probably pretty much firmed up a test spot.
He loves a scrap down at Belrive.
He does.
The big green deck, you know, back against the wall, tough, gritty runs, and he just seems to do it. And that's what that's what got him back into the test team originally, just fighting gritty runs.
Yeah.
That's the kind of character that we wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
But I tend to agree, yeah.
Mm.
which we'll get to.
Probably later. Goes to show how good the innings was from Maddow as well, considering
yeah.
he made half the runs for the Vicks, and then almost everyone from Tassie didn't do anything apart from Matty Wade as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. And they chased 144 four down as well, so there's 34 wickets in the match and a very low scorer. Marcus Harris also made a second innings 50, keeping his sort of name in front of the selectors there with that.
Yep.
And Jackson Bird, who we mentioned earlier, took 7 for 100 for the match, so he's also not done his prospects of being the sixth.
A very Jackson Bird looking wicket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Death taxes Jackson Bird averaging like 12 at Blunt.
Yeah, absolutely. New South Wales played your mob at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. The Chad.
Porter. Oh. And Chad says, they were calling him Chaddy Boy on the Redback socials, which I probably wasn't into.
No, that's okay. Let him do what they like.
I like the Chad. He was the story of the match, really. He took 8 for 64 and 5 for 67. They still lost, but he's taken 13 for 100 and, 31. And it's...
He's been... A little bit of here a South go. Australian pump up, all right.
Here we go.
He has been doing
for reference. This bloke's from Narracourt, about 1K from the Victorian border. But
I'm South
go for
Australian
it.
Through and through. But Chad Sayers has been doing this for like 5 years, and I'm very happy that he managed to get a Test debut when he did. But unfortunately, it was the Test after Sandpaper Gate.
Yeah.
So he was never going to perform.
It was a charity Test. It was. Really.
I feel a little bit sorry for him in that respect. So he never got to come in and put his front foot forward in a test that Australia were going to win. But he's been doing this for years. He's been the leading wicket taker in the Shield for years and years and years. So
he loves the Adelaide Oval. And where every other bowler seems to struggle a little bit on that deck, it can become a bit of a graveyard
there.
If
you go back and have a look at the wickets, there are some absolute pearlers.
Yeah. There were stumps cartwheeling, like proper cartwheeling. Yeah. It was great.
And it's unfortunate
how firm that pitch was.
It's unfortunate that he falls behind, you know, Starkey Paddo, Cummins, Hazelwood, Jai Richardson now, and like
he's in the same boat
kind
as
of,
Jackson Bird.
He is, isn't
Michael
he?
Michael Nisa got a
yeah.
To England.
So it shouldn't come as a surprise, but he does it quite often. Chad says, and I think the Redbacks went into that side. Into that game, a batsman light looking at the team. Like Jake Lehman didn't play that game, and with Alex Carey out, you're losing a lot of runs there.
Yeah.
So
how old is the Chad? About 31, 32.
He's actually, I looked it up, he's almost the same age as Jackson Bird.
Right, okay. So he's probably, not only is he behind those blokes in the pecking order, they're also younger than him.
Yeah, correct. Mm. So
it's just gone past him.
Correct.
The thing is, because he only bowls about 125, 130, and because he's so, I suppose, he's not express, he's very conservative. He doesn't get injured a lot. He does get injured a little bit, but he could generally play cricket for another probably 7-8 years.
Yeah. He's a real Vernon Philander type, I guess.
He deserves to play more test cricket than he has.
He'll be one of those 40-year-olds playing in the county championship over in England, taking like 25 wickets in April.
but 13 wickets in a game in a losing side is pretty
that's
good.
Right. A man that will be playing test for Australia this summer, mopped them up on the last day. Josh Hazelwood, 6 for 35. Mm. And then also Travis Head, who I know you're a huge fan of, again, there, Jorge.
Yep.
109 in the first dig. And then Tom Cooper, the highest run scorer in the Shield this year.
We've got a little asterisk next to it because it was at the Junction Highway. So
But then he's made a pretty gutsy 77.
He's made runs in every game, So I thought Trav had probably fallen behind a few people, but that's a well-timed 100 because he did need it.
It was his last chance to really put his name up in lights.
Yeah, he absolutely needed it. Tom Cooper, Australia's loss there, maybe Netherlands gain.
They've qualified for the T20 World Cup next year, so he might never know.
He can play in that format.
His brother's doing well for them.
Mm. Queensland drew with WA at the Gabba, minus Labuschagne, a duck in a rare failure. Usman Khawaja, 32. His grip on that test spot is loosening by the moment.
It's gone.
A bit more context to that 32 was that they needed him to kind of fire, and he was on 32 overnight and then came back the next day. He'd already got 30, like obviously had 30-odd on the board. That had the makings of being his innings, but then in the first over of the day, again, he fell cheaply and Queensland fell in a little bit of a hole there. So, it says 32, but really he's gotten out early again. Like he's fresh start.
And when
the
they needed him.
Doesn't have his eye in, and he's just gone bang, and they've got him. So feels he's like, vulnerable early.
Feels like the same story with Marnus, doesn't it? It's like, oh, right, I should say. He's gotten himself in, and you know he's gonna make that contribution we need from him. Oh, hang on, right as we absolutely need him.
Break in play, lapse in concentration. Out.
Yep. The real story of the match.
Lyon has made more Shield runs this year
than Uzi.
Wow, you can't pick him if that's how he's going.
Nah. Yeah. The real story of the game though was Cam Green, who's taken a wicket.
I'm on him.
Taken a wicket in the Queensland batting innings, but he's made 87 and 121 not out in both digs. And WA was 7 for 53 when he came in. And they actually hadn't made enough runs at that point to ensure that Queensland batted again. So this was a really,
game-saver.
This is a game-saver for them, massively. Because, they were nearly rolled there, and he's just come in at 9 down. He's watched his, Marcus Stoinis made a duck. I think Sean Marsh didn't really contribute.
Josh Phillippe got a golden duck as well, I think.
Yeah. So he's watched some very experienced and credentialed blokes in front of him fall over, and he's gone, this is fine.
This is too easy.
This is a 20-year-old who's like 2 metres tall, absolute beanpole, batting at, 8 or 9, never made a first-class 50, never made a 50 in any format for WA before this. And he's come and plastered 200 runs unbeaten save his team the game.
Average like 14 or something.
I made the point earlier today in the office that if Mitchell Marsh had have done this, they would be putting a bronze statue up outside the Wacker at the moment.
200 feet
of how these 200 runs save the match, all this kind of jazz. We've hardly heard it, except for us putting a tile up. No one else has gone.
I think he's played. Yeah. I think I saw 9 games.
Said anything.
He's not
at
many.
The very beginning. So
if his name was Cameron Marsh.
Yeah.
Marsh did make runs, though. Sean makes 77 in the first dig. It's getting more and more clear that he's going to be. He's made the second most runs in this Lange Shield.
Just 393 runs.
Yeah, he's West Australian. He's
393 runs, and that doesn't include a game at the Junction Oval. So they're
they're genuine.
Like, you could look at them, they're legit runs.
Yeah. So he's
Justin Lange would say, it's very elite Marsh.
Yeah, he's done some elite Marsh in there. Joe Burns also made 76 in Queensland batting innings. All right, we're just going to do a little experiment here, guys. We've spoken about our batting orders and stuff, but we're going to pick an entire Test 11. We've got a few locks, so obviously Dave Warner's going to open the batting. That's happening. We can't do anything about it. Marnus Labuschagne's going to bat 3, Steve Smith at 4. We've also got locked in Tim Payne at 7, Cummins at 8, Lyon at 10, and Hazelwood at 11. So that leaves us four spots to pick. So another opener. Ethan, who'd you have locked in at your number 2?
I'm going with the same as last time we did this experiment, Nick Maddison.
You're still going with the Mad Dog?
I thought you said Usman Khawaja.
Ooh, did he?
We need to go back to the archives on that one.
One or the other.
I pumped up Nick Maddison. I probably
did
pump up
Uzi. You did say
the
Mad Dog.
But Uzi's unpickable at the moment. He's out of form, out of confidence. He's just not making any runs, any way to sort of justify his case. So I'm going Warner and Maddison because I think Maddo's clearly good enough. He's more than done enough to press his case. I think he's the best opening bat in the domestic comp at the moment.
Well, Victoria slid him down the list.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Can you pick him if admittedly, he made a lot of his runs at the top of the order, but for team balance, he slid down to number 4. Can you pick a guy who's been batting recently at number 4 to open the batting in a test match?
Yeah, like when he's been peeling off centuries opening the batting, I think he can.
Yeah.
I'll
go against you. I think they have asterisk. To go with. I think they have to go for Marcus Harris because he's a pure opener and he's done... I said whoever opens and makes the most runs in this Shield will get the nod, and I think he's that guy. So that's who I'm sticking with.
Ports?
I'm probably sticking with Marcus Harris as well, reluctantly. I like that Joe Burns made some runs, but he's still...
He's way back.
Burns would be my pick.
I've got Maddo / Burns on my sheet. I think Burns.
Get off
the
fence, would you? Which side have you got?
I've gone with
Uzi, bloody Joe Burns.
Yeah,
I think you know with Marcus Harris that he's probably going to average 30.
Mm. Yeah,
I think Maddison he could average 20. He could average 40. He could average 45.
He could average 5.
Joe Burns does average 40 at test level. So yeah. I think there's more quantity to both Maddo and Burns.
Yep, and I also think Burns is a little bit more. Adept at actually facing the new ball, I think. Yeah. And he also, like, he bats with Marnus Labuschagne all the time. So
he's got centuries at test level. Like, we know he can do it at the highest level. I don't think we know Marcus Harris can just yet.
Mm, I agree with that. All right, our number five. Who did you have here for yours, Eth?
Matthew Wade.
Yeah, I think agreed.
They stuck with him in the last Ashes test when they could have dropped either him or Head, and you know, it's turned out to be a bit of a sliding doors moment. Wade's still peeling off. You know, he's still averaging 56 in the Shield. I don't think he's...
He's just made tough runs as well. Like, yeah, tough runs.
I don't think he's done enough to be dropped.
Nah.
I think he had
to have a really bad... He needed to be going as poorly as what Khawaja's going.
Yeah, he needed to go full Khawaja.
To lose his spot, yeah. And that's... I think there's just, yeah, I think he's done enough to hold his spot there.
Yeah. What about you, George?
Yep. So Wade at 5 or 6. Depends who else they decide to go.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we're all in agreement there. I'm going to have Wade at 5 as well. Ethan, your number 6, I assume, will be an all-rounder.
It sort of depends on your number 9 as well, because if you go with, like, a Mitch Stark or someone like that in 9, you might need another bowler. You might need a Mitch Marsh or a Marcus Stoinis. I think Stoinis is really interesting. Like, he's... Mm. He's sort of been out of favour a little bit. Hasn't been picked in the T20 squads at all, but he's making runs and taking wickets in the Shield, so you can't really ignore that. Having said that, I've got Will Pukowski at number 6.
I like it.
I think it's a chance to blood Will Pukowski, but I feel like I wouldn't pick Nick Maddison at 6, but I feel like if Nick Maddison's going to play, he's going to play at 6. I don't think they'll pick him an opener. So I think he's probably one of the leading candidates for that spot. But I'm still back in the oil rig. I want to see an all-rounder. Yeah. I think they like picking an all-rounder. He's Western Australia. He missed out with the bat, but he took some really important wickets. He was the one who got Marnus and Uzi out within an over, I think. So I'm sticking by him at number 6.
Yep, you're having the rig. George?
I had Pukowski a few weeks ago.
Now Tom Cooper.
Yeah, nearly. I nearly wanted to say that. I had Pukowski. I think it's the right time to bring a kid in at 5 or 6. I've got him slightly ahead of Travis Head. I don't think there's a need for Stoinis as good as he's been. Mm-hmm. If we're going to roll out with Cummins, Lyon, Hazelwood, and one of the other 6 express bowlers we've got waiting in the wings. I wouldn't be surprised if they did go Stoinis, though.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a need.
I would also pick the oil rig himself.
Up the rig.
I think that it's worth, on our decks, giving the quicks a rest from time to time.
If we get a couple of roads, I think it's just so handy to have that
extra bowler. I think it's also worth giving Stoinis, just having a look at him at test level and seeing how he goes.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like he's one of those guys who will just rise to the occasion.
Kind of. Well,
like,
that's kind of my thinking as well.
Like, one of those guys who doesn't necessarily dominate like he should at domestic level, but he's probably up to it with, like, when the pressure's on and just
kind of like a reverse Marsh.
Yeah, if pretty you much. Will.
He probably would have been pretty upset or pretty dirty that he was left out of that Aussie 2020.
Yeah, he'd have a point.
So he's gone
prove.
Back and done absolutely everything he can.
Yeah, I think it might still be a touch early for Pukowski. Like, he's made runs, but he made that 100 on the Junction Oval and then hasn't really made any runs since. And, he's a guy I'd be really wary about throwing into the test side without runs, you know?
Well, they nearly did it last summer.
Yeah, but
he'd
made
runs. But then the wheels got, like, the pressure got to him and he didn't have a great second half of the year and he was running drinks. He was rushed into the Australian squad and all this kind of
and
stuff.
That messed with his head a little bit. I think you've got to handle him.
It got to a
really,
point where
really
he had to take a break because it was too much for him. So.
I think it's worth, like, he's, like, we've all assessed he is a serious prospect for the future. It's not worth.
Don't burn him.
Yeah, don't burn him yet because it's not worth it.
I think the other point about Stoinis is I know he's getting picked a fair bit for his bowling as well as a fifth bowling option, but, like, he's made 3 half centuries without making a century. I don't know how many first class centuries he has, but I don't think it's many because his record was pretty modest.
Yeah.
Like, is he someone you can really bank on if you're 4 for 70 or 4 for 80, can you look at Marcus Stoinis and think this bloke's going to make us, you know, 100 or 150 to get us out of trouble?
But you'd think he's probably batting at that point with Marnus Labuschagne, Steve Smith or Matty Wade.
I know he literally has done that against New Zealand in one of his first ODIs, but...
Mm.
He's done it at an international level before. Like, that's the other thing. It's like the pressure was on in that game. That was an inexperienced team, and he just chucked the team on his back and slammed them everywhere. So I'm happy to give him a crack.
I think it's worth it.
I think if you don't give him a crack now, you probably never get a crack because he's 30 or 31 or something. Like, if you don't roll him now, then there's no point picking him to debut as a 34-year-old kind of all-rounder in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we're not going to end up in a scenario where he's like opening the batting and then batting three. And, like, you know, so that's fine. And then the last one we're looking at is our number nine, the third quick. And what do you have, Ethan?
I think it's Mitchell Starks to lose, but I think it's very losable. If it wasn't Stark, I'd be tempted to give Michael Neeser a crack.
Oh, yeah?
Because obviously he's favoured. He's been taking wickets and making runs at Shield level. Like, he's peeled off first-class half-centuries at batting at 8 or 9 for Queensland. They obviously like him. And look, if they think he's near test quality, why not give him a crack?
15 wickets at 20 from his three games in the Shield. That's
I agree that I think Stark will get first crack. And I'd definitely have him inside as a left-armer who bowls that kind of express pace. It's a little bit different. Yeah. I think if they don't go with him, then Jai Richardson's the one that they're going to look to pump games into. Yep. So it'll be one of those two for mine, but I think Stark's almost a lock.
Mm. George, anyone catch your eye in the SA second 11?
Cam Valenti.
No, I'm with you, Busy. Nick Winter playing Shield cricket, so he's not wasting his time with me at the seconds. Starkey, I think, will be his first in. I agree, Jai Richardson's probably next in line. We haven't seen enough from Paddo, to be fair.
Yeah, he's bowled himself out of spot.
Yeah.
And I mean, also probably.
And they had to rest him in the last game. His body
is going to be. But
I love nothing more than seeing Paddo steam in, but he bowled spin the other week. He can't possibly be.
You're probably not picking him to open the bowl.
Sorry, Paddo.
I also had Starkey down there, so that's a clean sweep there. So we've pretty much we'll put it out to the people. Let us know what you think. We'll post a little Tiley boy. We've pretty much gone a clean sweep of Wade at 5 and Stark at 9. So it's kind of seems like it's two spots that are up for grab, even in our own personal teams. So we'll see how that goes. What else is happening in the world of cricket? I've lost my rundown here. Someone pay for me,
the
please.
Poms and the Kiwis.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Back to you, Rudy.
Thank you very much. The Kiwis have beaten England in a 2-1 in a T20 series, and it came as part of an absolute vintage choke from the Poms. They were 2 for 139, chasing 181. So they needed 42 with 5 overs left. Should get over the line with 8 wickets in the shed in a T20. Instead, they just lost 5 for 10.
so good.
And fell 14 runs short.
I reckon I read that they've had 6 blokes who have debuted in that series, England.
It's an ordinary team on paper.
It's an ordinary looking team on paper. You'd think it's a bit of a weird one, just less than a year out from a World Cup to debut a bunch of blokes. But
I guess I've got to see if they can.
Yeah, I mean, it's guys like Tom Banton who I would be fast tracking him if I could.
If they unearth one, then it's worth it. But they're just rolling the dice on a few. They're really not taking this series very seriously because they've left all of their good players at home.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bantons and, you know, your Tom and Sam Currens and all that sort of stuff. They're just assessing where they're at, I guess.
I thought they'd won the series. There's actually 5 of them. So they're 2-1 up after 3.
Right.
Yeah, so they've got two more to play. So I've done a George. I've really onioned that up.
Really contagious. Oh, no. So actually, that I think it was yesterday's game. Geez, it's a good looking place to play cricket, New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
picturesque. Great place to watch.
Yeah. It's the best. You know, I went to Wellington about 14 or 15 months ago, and the cricket ground there, what's it called, Ethan?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Can't remember. Anyway, it's an
Wellington
actual
cricket ground.
It's an actual, it's just a roundabout in the middle of the city. You've got like the New Zealand Parliament on one side of it, and then it's just a massive one-way roundabout.
Yeah,
so you've got to get down there. And you could just walk up to it and watch like international cricket from outside it. Like you can just see inside it from the street.
Really nice,
It's a really strange setup. We also had Alyssa Healy and Elise Perry. They made none for 199 against Melbourne Stars, which is by far the biggest opening partnership of any kind, I'm pretty sure, in women's 2020. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's unfair that they're allowed to play in that comp. They just dominate.
You'd think they'd sort of portion them out.
And don't let them be on the same team. That's a bit of a joke.
It's not fair. It's just not fair. The poor Melbourne Stars, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much done here, guys. We've taken up a lot of your time talking about Sheffield Shield, and we hope you love it as much as we do. I've been Rudy Etzel, been joined by Ethan Meldrum.
Thanks for having me.
George Porter.
Thank you.
Tommy Beers.
Thank you.
See you soon.